Psalm 107, and we'll read all of that psalm. Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought them down their hearts with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadows of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, for his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth up the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into wilderness, and the water springs into a dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell in therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry for to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, causes them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it, and rejoice, and in all iniquity shall stop a mouth. Whoso is wise, and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And we do ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Amen.
Amen.
This psalm doesn't give us a title. It doesn't say who wrote it. We don't know when it was written, but most of the commentators seem to suggest that it was written after the exile of Israel. But as with all the Psalms, it's a psalm full of instruction for us. But it's also a psalm that can make you stop and think. A word that's been used a lot in the last few years has been unprecedented times. We've had Brexit going on, then there was COVID, now Ukraine, and the knock-on effects of that from energy to food, the behaviour of the politicians, ongoing concerns about climate change, the recent hot weather. And there we are, living in the midst of it. And all the news is going on about how terrible things are, and not only terrible at the moment, but they're even going to get worse. And then you turn to your Bible and you read verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. The man in the street wouldn't give thanks unto the Lord. The man in the street doesn't say that anything is good at the moment. But here the psalmist is saying to us, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And we are all in the world. But this psalm reminds us that we shouldn't be caught up with the affairs of the world. How, as Christians, do we cope with all that is going on round about us? As we know, the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the truth. And the words are applicable to all of us, whatever age, whatever time, whatever events are going on round about us. The Bible is always relevant to whatever situation we find ourselves. The truth and the principles that flow from this, from the truth, we should apply to whatever situation we find ourselves in, whether it's the situation that we find ourselves in the land in which we live, the situation in the church, the situation in our home, in the family, with those that we work with. The principles are laid out for us in God's word. And so we have this psalm, and we're not to ignore it, that injunction to give thanks unto the Lord. And as you read this psalm, we can understand why there are problems. In verse 11 and verse 12 of the psalm, we read, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. And then verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. So the psalm reminds us that there is sin in the world, but also we're prone to sin. What is sin but rebelling against God's word? What was Adam's sin? He ignored, he rebelled against God's word. And so that tells us why there are problems. But again, how do we cope with these problems? And the psalmist, as I said, he instructs us. He was a man of like passion as us. He had lived through unprecedented times, returning from the exile, or perhaps even going down, being captive. And so we always live through difficult times. But the psalmist reminds us that what we're to do, just at the end of this psalm, he says, and we will hopefully consider this just at the end as well. But he says at the end of this psalm, whosoever is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. We're to be wise. We're to observe what is going on. And if we are wise, we do observe, we will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. we will be a people able to give thanks. As I said, great turmoil going on all about, and it's because of rebellion. Rebellion against God and rebellion against the Word of God. And the psalm, you've probably noticed, but verse 6 says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress." And that's repeated in verse 13, verse 19, and verse 28. And so this psalm, by this verse, is broken up into four sections, four distinct sections. And these distinct sections describe four states that men find themselves in. Verse 4 says, "They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way." We have there a description of a traveller. We know about Israel wandering through the wilderness. They wandered in the wilderness. Verse 10, "Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in afflictions and iron." A prisoner, someone captive in a dark dungeon. The Word of God tells us of numerous people that have been imprisoned. We have Jeremiah, we have Daniel, we have Paul, and there's others, no doubt, that you can think of. And then verse 17 says, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death." We have sickness. And again, we read of sickness in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'm sure that we have all been sick at one time or another. Some people are very seriously sick at times and do indeed appear to draw near to death. But the Lord does preserve them. And so sickness as well. And then the final group that we have in verse 23, "They that go down into the sea in ships and do business in great waters, seamen and storms." And whilst we might not go to sea, I'm sure we can all think of various storms that we have passed through in our life. And so the principles apply to these group of people. You might not consider yourself, you may never have been a seaman, but we've all faced the storms. And so the way that the psalmist talks about these events and then the remedy and the help that he finds, we can apply to whatever situation we find ourselves in. Excuse me. And then the last part of the psalm, from verse 33 to 41, is a bit broader, deals with the way that the Lord deals with nations, things that happen in the lands, reminding us that all events are controlled by the Lord, whether it's sunshine or rain, fruitful fields or barren fields, fruitful cattle or barren cattle. It is the Lord that raises up. It is the Lord that casts down. The princes are raised up. The princes are cast down by the Lord. And again, as we end with verse 43, if we're wise, we'll observe these things and understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And so, as I said, you might not consider yourself a traveller. You might never have been, or thought you'd never been, a prisoner. Not been serious sick unto death. And you haven't been a seaman. But all these descriptions of what happens to these men, to their bodies, we also read about the soul. In verse 9, "For he satisfied the longing soul, filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Reminds us that we have a body and a soul. And to remember that the Word of God applies to our body, but also our soul. As Christ reminds us, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? If you go through the psalm, you can find 5 references to the soul. And so we've got to always consider that we have a body, but we also have a soul that we need to take care of, to consider. This psalm is specifically written for the believer. Verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." And so, yes, we're told to give thanks because we've been redeemed. But the lessons that we apply to the believer equally apply to the unbeliever. But we, above all people, because we know the Lord, because we've been redeemed, should be a people to give thanks. We can give thanks, and we have the reasons here. For he is good, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth ever. The redeemed of the Lord, so whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the north and the south. God's goodness has been shown to the redeemed of the Lord. Those that have been purchased by Christ's blood, those that have been redeemed from their sins, those that have been rescued from their sins, from the hand of the enemy. The enemy, of course, being Satan. We already mentioned Satan in the Garden of Eden, tempting Adam and Eve. And he has continued to tempt men and women ever since then. And men have become enthralled and entrapped to him. But the Lord has redeemed us from the entrapment of Satan. And so the Lord is good. We couldn't have got away from Satan in our own strength. And that redemption, again, the Lord is good, because if you read it, he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say, whom he hath redeemed. It is the Lord that has redeemed us. We haven't redeemed ourselves in our own strength from the enemy. And then verse 3, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and the south. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save those that were lost, to seek those from the east, from the west, from the north and the south. And so our redemption, nothing to do with us, all of God, and every reason that we should give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness and redeeming us. But if we move on, verses 4 to 5, we have that description of the traveller, the description of what it's like to live in this world. If we're honest, it's a way that we, it's a description of living in this world. We read, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried in the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of the distress. We know the word of God describes saints as pilgrims and strangers in this land. And so it is. We do wander in the wilderness in a solitary way. No, they found no city, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. There is nothing in this world that can satisfy our souls. A brother made mention in his prayer, the broken cisterns of this world. The treasures that men and women seek to lay up. Remember, moth and rust will come and corrupt. Men earn wages to put in their pockets, but as we read in the prophets, there are holes in those pockets. And so the world we live in is a wilderness. There's nothing to satisfy us. There's nothing to feed our souls. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. And What do we do? What can we do? Well, the psalmist reminds that those that were hungry and thirsty, their soul had fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Do we cry unto the Lord? That is the remedy for being a stranger, a pilgrim in this land. To cry unto the Lord for help, for deliverance from out of the trials and the tribulations of wandering in this wilderness of the world. And then if we move on, we have the prisoner in verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the word of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. And we know those descriptions of prisoners. We know about Jeremiah in that miry pit. Darkness, miserable, starving. And that's the description of men and women caught up in sin. The wages of sin is death. Prisoners, because they're in bondage to Satan. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Men are servants of sin. As Paul reminds us, he talks of the Christian being delivered from the bondage of corruption. And that was our natural state. We were prisoners. We were in bondage. We were in a miserable situation. We were in that dark dungeon awaiting death. But what does the psalmist say? Then they cried unto their Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. We know that time when we realized we were sinners, and we got down and we cried unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and he drew alongside us and saved us and called us. We knew what it was to be set free from the bondage of sin. And then in verse 18, we have this description of illness. From verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because their iniquities are afflicted, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, they draw near unto the gates of death. As I've said, the wages of sin is death. Why is there sickness in the world? Because men fell. The world thinks they can overcome sickness, that they can live forever, they can eat this, they can do that, take that, and they will live forever. But we all know that death does come upon. And again, fools, because of their transgression and because their iniquities are afflicted, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. A sick man so often refuses food. And isn't that a description of the world? They will refuse the word of God. They won't consider the word of God. They won't see that the word of God is the bread of life. They abhor the word of God. They hate God's word. So much so, and we see it more in these days than perhaps at any time before, that people try and silence those that want to declare the word of God. They want to ban the distribution of God's word. They want to silence preachers, or at least restrict them to very small areas so they can not be heard. And that's the state. And that was the state that we were in until we cried unto the Lord. As David says, the sorrows of death compassed me about, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. David there talking about the ungodly men and the floods, a reference to a storm, and the sailors that we read about in verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters see the works of the Lord and the wonders in his deep. As I said, not many people are sailors, but there's one thing that we are conscious of: the power in the sea. The storms that rage and the height that we know that the waves reach to, the way they can swamp a ship, crush a ship and sink it in minutes, the way that the waves crash upon the shore, erode the coastline, cause flooding. And so the waves remind us of the power of God and that we're helpless to do anything about it. Sailors are particularly, as I said, experience the storms and are so very conscious of these things. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, are at their wit's end. And then they cry unto the Lord. And when we pass through the storms of life, whatever they may be, disappointment in family, being made redundant at work, suffering, loss of privilege or wealth, or the situation that we've used to be in, we can be overcome with these storms. We can be at our wit's end. But then we can cry unto the Lord, and he bringeth them out of his distress. Again, consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the way he stilled the storm and calmed the waves and helped those in distress. The way he delivered Jonah at that time of the storm. The way Paul was delivered despite the storm. And so the psalmist reminds us that we can cry unto the Lord, whatever situation we find ourselves in. But the cry, it's a desperate cry. It's when we realise that we can do nothing, that we are weak, that we are in bondage to Satan, that we are prisoners, that we are sick, that there's nothing that we can do. We can only turn to the Lord and cry unto him. And in doing so, we recognise that the Lord God is the Almighty One that can deliver, that has the power to deliver, that has done all things necessary to deliver us from the bondage of Satan. But we also acknowledge that we're sinners. Again, as we read Acts, neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men whereby we must be saved. We can only be saved by crying unto the Lord. And again, we do need to remind ourselves that so often our problems, our trials, are because we've rebelled against the word of God, that we have, we're fools because of our transgression and because of our iniquities. And so we need to confess our sins before our Almighty God frequently, daily, to cry unto the Lord for that help and deliverance. And if we do find ourselves in one of these situations, we can cry unto him for deliverance and be assured that he will. Because you read through and after these time, the psalmist says they cried to the Lord, and verse 7, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Cry unto the Lord, and he led them by the right way. The Lord Jesus Christ is that right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ leads us after this wilderness, to that heavenly city, to that city of habitation. And then, and then they cried in verse 13 to the Lord, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. The Lord Jesus Christ broke us free from the bondage of Satan. We have the victory in Christ. And then in the sickness, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from his destruction. The Lord has given us his word, and he has given us the Lord Jesus Christ, the life. He's given us the balm of Gilead to heal us from our sickness and from our sins. As I said, Christ is that bread of life. He sustains and feeds us. He leads us. He is the one that has broken the bonds of Satan. He is the light of the world. He's taken us out of the darkness of the dungeon. And so we cry unto the Lord, and we can be assured that he will hear our cry, that he will answer. And he has that power to deliver us from the wilderness, to break us and set us free from the bondage we find ourselves in, to give us that eternal life that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, to give us the strength to weather the storms of life, whatever assails us. And we know this because we have the word of God, the word of life. We have that balm of Gilead. We have the Lord Jesus Christ who heals and raises us up. As we'll come to in Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. As I said, Christ, the bread of life, and we have that wonderful promise. We might be a bruised reed, we might be a smoking flax, but the Lord will revive us and restore us. And Christ, as I said, he stilled the waves for the disciples and calmed the storm, and he can still the storms for us, calm the storms. In verse 30 again, or sorry, 29, then he maketh the storm a calm so that the waves are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. The peace that the Lord Jesus Christ can bring to that troubled situation, he bringeth unto them, unto their desired haven. The desired haven for a sailor is that safe harbour protected from the storm. But the safe haven for the saint, again, is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, to be in that heavenly city, knowing that that indeed is that safe haven. Once we get there, nothing can assail us, and the Lord Jesus Christ has gone before. But notice, as I said, it's a cry, and we have this description of that longing soul, that hungry soul, that thirsty soul. And that is so often these trials make us realize that all that the world gives will not feed our hungry soul. And do we have that longing soul to know more of God's word, to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know more of the workings and the leading of Christ? And so this psalm will encourage us, and does encourage us, all that is going on, above all of all people, we should be a people that can give thanks unto the Lord, that can recognise that he is good, for we know that he is working out his purposes, that indeed the storms that we pass through, passing through this wilderness, makes us realise that there is nothing in this world. The only thing that is sure and certain is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that his mercy does indeed endure forever. As I said, oh, that men would praise God for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. The children of men so often don't, can't, and won't, but above all, those that are redeemed should be able to see the goodness of God, to see his wonderful works, the wonderful works of salvation. And so we should be praising and thanking the Lord, praising in private, but also, as we're reminded in the psalm here, verse 32, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. As I said, praise done in private, but praise in the church, remembering that the Lord has granted us the church, a temporary shelter until we get to that eternal home, that eternal habitation. Again, the goodness of the Lord in giving us the church. And so we've seen the Lord's dealings with individuals. You can look from verse 33 about the Lord's dealings with the nation, with the lands and the country, and meditate upon that. I won't go through that now. And then we come to the end, verse 42. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. If we do observe, if we are righteous, and we view these things aright through God's word, we will see that the Lord indeed is working out his purposes by whatever is going on round about us in the land, whether it's weather, storms, political upheaval, or whatever, disease, pestilence. We shall see it and rejoice because the Lord is working out his purposes. And we know that there is that day coming. Verse 42 says, and all iniquity shall stop a mouth. And we know that every mouth will be stopped, and will be all the world will be guilty before God when the Lord comes to judge the world in righteousness. The scoffers, the mockers will be silenced. And verse 43 then closes this psalm. Whosoever is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of God. And it's a problem living in this world. We're challenged by all that's going on, all that is happening. It's a common question raised by the man in the street. Why does God allow all these things to happen? But as believers, we're not to be entangled and taken up with the affairs of this world. Notice the psalmist says, who is wise will observe these things. Someone who observes is not involved. They look on and they see what is going on. The wisdom, as we know, starts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we should have shown that fear of the Lord because we've cried unto him for help, for deliverance. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We know that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So they won't observe the affairs of this world. They will entangle themselves in. They will get involved in the politics, in the whatever the latest protest is, and try and have their way. But we will observe these things, knowing that the Lord is over and above. And so if we are confused and bewildered, let us learn from the Epistle of James. If any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given them. Applying God's word to all that is going on. Using God's word to, as it were, be the glasses that we observe what is going on in the world. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. As we read in Timothy, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We're not to be entangled and ensnared with all that is going on round about us. Yes, it has its effect, but our hope is not on the deliverance promised by politicians or all the so-called experts or whatever. We observe and we know that the Lord is working out his purposes. And we're to pray. Cry unto the Lord. We're distressed. Cry unto the Lord for the help. Pray, as we read in Thessalonians, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And so we pray, we cry unto the Lord that he will deliver us, that he will keep us, that he'll protect us from wicked and unreasonable men. And so if we do that, we'll understand the loving kindness of God. We will see God's loving kindness and mercy in our redemption. We will see the Lord's loving kindness in his keeping and preserving us from the many trials and tribulations that we face. We will read God's word and be reminded how he has raised up those rulers and cast them down, how he has accomplished his purposes and worked out his purposes. Nothing can thwart the will of God. and the great upheaval in the world and all that is going on shows to us, reminds us of the emptiness of this world and the folly of trusting in princes and leaders, and that everything in this world is temporary. Yet we have that heavenly city, that certain city, that eternal city. All that's going on reminds us again from God's word that indeed we are living in the last days, but we can still seek the Lord and know his strength and know his help. And so we can thank the Lord above all people. Whatever situation we find ourselves, let us cry unto the Lord. Let us pray for that deliverance, for that help. And as we read in Nahum, and I close with this, he reminds us, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. And so I trust that that applies to us, that we know the Lord is good, that he is that stronghold in the day of trouble, and we know that he knoweth each one of us because he has called us by name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll close with the singing of hymn number 518, paraphrase of the 130th Psalm. Out of the depths I cry to thee, Lord. Hear me, I implore thee. If thou should mark iniquity, who, Lord, shall stand before thee? O may thine ear attend my cry. Lord, bid me to thyself draw nigh, while now I call upon thee. Hymn number 518.
Is the O Lord my soul?
and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.